Right towards the end of the parsha, we have the classic Friday night. Right, that was I was trying to find on the internet. I was trying to find a father blessing his son. And when you look on Google Images for a father blessing his son, I could have put a lot of priest pictures in here. So instead, I went for a rabbi blessing in shul, and I got something that was at least more similar and more attuned to what we wanted to discuss. But the classic example of the father blessing one's son, right, we have Ephraim and Menashe, that's even the very bracha which we say. But it's generally referred to as the brachos of Yaakov Avinu that he bestows upon his sons. But it's not exactly like that. If you and we'll just take a quick glance at what exactly he is saying to the brothers, to the sons. And so what exactly is Yaakov's intent? Does he have one intent? Is he multiple intents? He seems to be very inconsistent. What exactly is he doing? Is he blessing the brothers? Is he rebuking the brothers? Is he professing what the future is going to be? So let's just take a glance at a couple of psukim and try to talk some nitty-gritty. Okay, source one. So the very first pasuk should give us light in terms of what's about to happen. Vayikra Yaakov el banav. He called to his sons, Vayomer, Hey Asvu, gather round, Va'agid alachem, and I will tell you, Eis asher yikra eschem, that which will happen to you, Va'achris hayomer, at the end of days. Stop right there. He sounds like he's giving prophecy. It sounds like he's trying to tell you what's going to happen in the future. And in fact, Rashi is bothered by this pasuk, and Rashi says that really what happened, there's a 180-degree shift in what Yaakov Avinu was about to do. At that point, he thought he was going to actually tell the brothers, the Bnei Yisrael, literally speaking, what's going to happen in the times of Mashiach. And all of a sudden, Mistalik Nivuaso Mimenu, all of a sudden his Nivuah had disappeared, and therefore he basically makes a disconnect between the first pasuk and the following parsha. But if you just read the pasuk, it sounds like he's about to profess what's going to happen. So let's continue a little bit. He kavtsu, they gathered, vishimu, bnei Yaakov, vishimu, al Yisrael avichem. So what did he say? First son, Ruvain. Ruvain is great. Bechoriato, you're my son. Kofi, voracious, oni, yeser seis, v'yeser oz. Ruvain, you had a lot of potential. You're my first son, my first strength. But what happened? Pachas kamayim. You're a little bit unstable. You flow like the water. Al toser ki alisa mishkevei avicha az chilalta yitzui Allah. You, what happened? The story, Reuven had switched the beds. He wanted to give his mother Leah an extra night with their father Yaakov. And as a result of that, he was punished. He was unstable. That was inappropriate. That was not something that he should have done. So, looking at Reuven doesn't... So let's try to think. Is this prophecy? Yeah, it's a bracha. If that's a bracha, I wouldn't want to imagine what his curse is, right? Not doesn't seem like such a bracha. Doesn't seem to be a nevuah. It's not agid lechem isasher yikra eschem. This is already the past. So what's going on exactly here? Shimon Levi, not so much better. Shimon Levi, Yaakov Avinu references in pasuk. Hey. He references how they acted at Shechem and them being so volatile. Continue to hey Ches. Finally, after we finish in the Levi, Yehuda's a little bit nicer. Yehuda, ata yoducha achecha. Your brothers will admit to you. They'll be subservient to you. Yodcha ba'orif ayvecha. Your hand will be at the neck of your enemies. Yishdachav ulecha b'nei avicha, and your brothers shall bow down to you. You're going to be respected. That sounds nice. That sounds like it could be a bracha. If you continue, and again within Yehuda, he references the malchus that in pasuk yud lo yosher shevet mi Yehuda umicholki mi bein raglov. The scepter shall not leave the hands of Yehuda. He's going to be a king eternal. Then you skip down the next brother.
Can I just go back?
To yeah, please.
He definitely is a change. It's definitely a bracha, but it's at the expense of the other sons.
I mean, you're saying even more so.
I mean, it's that, you know, you're going to be, you know, the other guys, I mean, it's almost a continuation of others of the brothers are not getting what you're getting. like the first two.
So wait, are you saying it? Meaning, so I have asked a question according to that point. Who's the subject? Is the subject Shimon and Levi, and now Yaakov Avinu is highlighting? Shimon, Levi, and Reuven, and he's just highlighting.
I think all of them.
So if it's all of them,
he's giving him the Bechorah.
Right. Exactly. I mean, obviously, it's the kingship and all of that, but still, it's just for the others. Yet they haven't yet heard like an unconditional. This is going to be good because even though he got something good, there's still negativity coming through because the only way Yehuda is getting good is because we're getting bad.
Uh-huh.
We have to bow down to him. We didn't like it when Yosef told us we had to bow down to him. Uh-huh. Why are we going to like it when we have to bow down to Yehuda? I mean, it may be that that's going to be...
Right. I'm sorry, remind me your name, please. I'm sorry. What was that?
Mike.
So the truth is that I think what you're suggesting, we're going to see towards the end of this year, is it sounds a lot like the Abai Banel, which is a little bit of more of a novel approach, but yeah. so again, your point is we have to look at the forest through the trees, meaning yes, Reuven, Shimon, Levi are thrown to the wayside. Yehuda is raised up, but there's an interplay here between the three of them. Okay. So Yehuda is praised. We continue down to Zvulun. Zvulun, this could be more, I guess this could be a bracha. Zvulun lechof yamim yishkon. He's going to be a sailor. Excuse me. Yisachar. Sounds like he's going to be a trader. Chamor gorem rovetz bein hamishpasayim. He's going to be more of a trader, etc. Don is going to be a judge. Again, it seems to be less negative, at least from here. God is going to be more of a warrior. Asher is going to be, I guess, Shmein Alachmo v'itein Madanei Melech. He's going to be successful. Whatever he does, he's going to be a farmer. By Naftali, Ayala Shlucha, Hanosin, Imre Shafer. Again, also bracha for Naftali. Yosef, Ben Paras Yosef, Ben Paras Ale Oyin. He was very beautiful. Etc. etc. It's more, but again, it's more positive, at least from here. So if you skip down to Pasuk Chav Ches, and then we'll move from the actual Pesukim from here. After all is said and done, Pasuk Chav Ches, Kol Eila Shifte Yisrael, Shneim Asar, all of these tribes of Israel are 12. Vizos Asher Diber Lahem Aviem, and this is what their father had spoken to them. Vayivarech Osam, and he had blessed them. Ish Asher Kivir Chaso, Beirach Osam. Each one according to his blessings, he blessed them. So now this is another point of departure for the Mefarshim over here, for the Parshanim. How do you read this? So we just said in that pasuk in Chav Ches, "Vayivarech Osam Ish Asher Kivir Chaso Birach Osam." Is he explaining what he just did? So if he's explaining Vayivarech Osam, that he had blessed them, like we said, blessings like that, who needs enemies? So what's going on? This didn't sound like what was said before was a bracha. And just to sharpen the kasha, the Abai Banel, in source to the Abai Banel in his... excuse me. The Abai Banel in his great fashion... He presents the questions very sharply. Hashela HaBeis, the second question in his series of questions that he asks at the beginning of the parsha, B'tachlis HaBrachos Ha'ele B'chlal, regarding what exactly is the purpose of these brachos? V'zeh ki i'efshar she'ne'mar she'hoya tachlis Yaakov b'tzava hazos l'bonav ela me'echad midal tachlios. So it has to be that the purpose of these brachos fit into one of four categories. What are the four categories? O lekulam, shimhayu biderech bracha v'tvila l'shem kolam mevarchim sheyivarcham. Or one possibility is that for everyone, He's giving them a blessing, and it's sort of a form of tefillah for everyone. Kamo shekasav, like it's written in the pasuk, achreim, after he spoke to each one individually, vayivarechosam, that he blessed them, ish asher kivirchosav barechosam. Right? V'im shahayel hochicham al hamaisim hamagunim asher ra behem, and if the purpose is in order to rebuke his sons, asher ra behem, regarding the terrible needles that he finds that they have, So it's hard to understand that because it says vayivarech osam, not rebuke. And if it's an issue to prophesy for them, to tell them what the future is going to be, now he explicitly explains what the kashas are. If you say the approach of bracha, what's going on with Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yisachar, God of Vinyamin, that doesn't sound like a bracha. And if you're telling me that the purpose of this whole dialogue of Yaakov is in order to rebuke his sons, then Yaakshe Meod Mashar Bihuda Ubizvulan Vidon Veoshav Yosef and Atalish Elohem Tochacha. Then for all of them, there's no rebuke at all for Yosef, for Yehuda, for Zvulan, for Don Veoshav. There's no rebuke there. Kim Brachos Hagadus Asid. Bimashahilagit Haasid Lavo, Kimoshir Mibrechas Yehuda Vidon Vigad Veosher. And if it's an issue of to prophesy for the future, and you have a kashu, Shem and Levi Ruven, those things that happened in the past, those were rebukes. And the last approach is in order to tell them what their portion is going to be, what their nachla is going to be in the land, like we find by Yehuda, Shetia Arzo, Eretz Yain Harbe, like we find that Yehuda's land is going to be filled with wine. And we know that by Yizvul he's going to live on the seashore. We know that he's going to have very fat bread. Then you have a kasher, what he said to all the others, that he did not specify what their nakhla is. Therefore, it's inconsistent. Exactly the point that we just made before. Inconsistency. But what's interesting here is, Mi'apar Ben El says, there are four themes that we find within these brachos. We have the theme of literally bracha, that they should be blessed. We have the theme of prophecy, what will happen to them in the future. We have the theme of rebuke, like Hashem and Levi and Reuven. And we have the theme of nachala, what exactly is their inheritance going to be? Which sort of, I always found was very connected to nevuah, but one is, I guess, more of a specific nevuah or not. But that's the way the Bible breaks it down. So what's going on over here? So let's take a look at the Ibn Ezra. So the Ibn Ezra says, third source, Eish Eis Asher Yikra Eschem Dover Hanavi La'asid. He says right off the bat in the Divrei HaMaskil, the Dibur Hanavi La'asid, that the Navi, Yaakov in this case, is speaking about the future. V'toha Omrin, and the people that say, and there are people that are mistaken by saying, Shem brachos, that these are brachos. No, they're not. Ba'avur shem atzim b'sof, vayivarech osam. Because it says at the end, vayivarech osam, so we're assuming that vayivarech osam is referring to the past. It's referring to everything that Yaakov did.
To the future, isn't it? At the end, it says vayivarech osam.
Yeah, because I guess he's understanding this above a hipoch.
Oh, okay.
Vaye brachos Reuven Shimon v'Shimon v'Levi. Because where are the brachos for Reuven Shimon and Levi? Therefore, it's really nevuah. Omar, v'zos yisher di b'lehem avim, v'yachakach borich chosam, lo hizkar hakasov habrachos. So rather, it's al derech nevuah. And afterwards, he blesses them. However, it doesn't mention what exactly the brachos are. In other words, like you said, that the borich osam is on the future. His kashi was assuming that v'yavarich osam was in the past, meaning those yesh mefarshim, but by Yivarech Osam is on the past, and therefore, And therefore, he had a difficulty with Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So he's saying, no, it's not in the past. The past, the beginning of the dialogue of Yaakov Avinu was more along the lines of Nevuah, which is not so simple, which is seems, there seems to be difficult in the Ibn Ezra, because Reuven, Shimon, Levi don't exactly seem to be the future. That seems to be the past.
Kind of which is about Pichem Israel, right?
Oh, by
Reuven.
By Shimon and Levi, at least.
Avitem Israel. So by, that is a Nevuah.
That is, that Shimon and Levi, you're right, that would be Nevuah. What about Reuven? B'chor yata kochi b'reish oni yeser seis v'yeser oz. Pachas kamayim al toser ki alisa mishkei avicha az chilalti yitzulay
Allah. You're right there.
Reuven, though, seems to be a little bit more tochacha related, more right. In the past. So, but you're right, it's a good point with regards to Shimon and Levi. Excuse me. So that's what how he explained. And therefore, Vayivarachosim is, I don't know. I don't know what bracha it is. Yaakov gave him a general bracha at the end. Now Rashi's approach. So Rashi says, Yuzos asher tiber lehem avim Vayivarachosim v'halo yesh b'yem shalo birchum el kitrom. He goes right for the jugular. What are you talking about? There wasn't a bracha for everybody. In fact, there were those that he was prosecuting. Elakach pirusha, v'zos asher diber lehem aviem, mash ne'emar b'inyan, yachol shlo barich l'ruvim, Shimon b'levi, hamalomer vayivarachu sam kulam b'mashma. You'd think that he hadn't blessed Ruvain, Shimon, and Levi. Therefore, you see vayivarachu sam kulam b'mashma. That really he did bless them. So what does that mean? He's not saying like the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says that the Vayivarach Osam is a separate bracha, not mentioned earlier. Rashi seems to say that you'd think that what they experienced wasn't a bracha, but it was a bracha. Okay. What is the bracha? It's unclear. Let's continue on Rashi. Excuse me. Ish asher kibircha so. Each one according to the blessing that he will that he is deserving of. What does this mean? Bracha ha'asid lavo al kol echad v'echad. The bracha that each one will eventually receive. So the way Rashi formulates it parenthetically, it's sort of he's merging nevuah and bracha, sort of making the two come together. Barich osam, so he blessed them. Lo hayelo lomar ela ish asher kibirchaso barich oso. It should have said, grammatically speaking, it should have said that he blessed, meaning if it's only referring to, Vayivarach Osam is referring to the past, and it's referring to the brachos that each brother got individually, it should have said that he blessed them, each one according to his bracha, not that he blessed them according to their bracha. Therefore, ma tamalomer barech osam, v'fishenosat Yehuda gvuraso shel aryeh, because he gave to Yehuda the strength of a lion, ulvinyamin chatifaso shel zev, and the binyamin, the ability to capture like a wolf, v'laftali kaloso shel ayal, and he gave him the lightfootedness of a ram, yachos shel kolon b'chol abrachos. Therefore, I would think that they weren't all included with all the brachos. Tamaloma barechosam, they weren't all included with all the brachos.
It's apologetics.
It is for sure. It is apologetics. That's for sure. He's trying to have his cake and eat it too. But what is Rashi trying to say? He's saying that they all were included in the bracha. So we'll see the Or Chaim and try to flesh that out what that means. But so what happens? So it sounds like that when he gave the bracha to Yehuda, he gave the bracha of Yehuda that he shall be like an Ari, have the strength of an Ari. So it sounds like just because, even though he may have been talking to Yehuda on an individual level, he was speaking through Yehuda, not to Yehuda. In other words, that the bracha really, for each one of the brothers, was a bracha that affected all of them. That's what it
But isn't the bracha is the same for every child when the father does?
What do you mean?
Friday night.
Yes, that is for sure. It's,
no, I mean, you be fair to all your children and not.
That's a great point.
Pick up one child more favor than the other.
Let's make your point stronger. Didn't Yaakov Avinu learn his lesson?
That's the Bereshis. That's the whole.
Right, didn't Yaakov Avinu?
Repeating the thing. Yaakov learned his lesson from the
form.
With the Ketoret Pasiv.
You have it from Avram, you have it from Yitzchak, you have it from Yaakov, you have it from Rome, you have it from Yosef.
Well, Avram had, again, a favor, right?
Inclusion and rejection.
There's a very nice...
Yitzchak had a favor also, so you're always going to have that.
You're right. But maybe you don't have to have that. Maybe it was that, but in fact, many of the Mefarshim, I think the Sfarno understands that, thank God the Sfarno says it, but Yaakov Avinu was mistaken. Yaakov Avinu, that was not good parenting.
Well, that can be also a personality of a child. You know, each child will act differently and will look at things differently in life.
But that's the responsibility of the father.
Oh, you don't favor me, you favor my brother, blah, blah, blah.
But it's the responsibility, though, I think, of the parent
to be
familiar with his children, to know how they would react.
Right.
So,
especially the mother.
Right. So you're right. I think that's so also, I didn't say this, but I think it's a good point. I think it's worth mentioning, is that I think that's sort of also what's the going behind the Mefarshim over here, why they're so bothered, and why they want consistency. They want consistency. You could argue this, but they want consistency for that very point. It's inappropriate maybe you could suggest this, it's inappropriate for Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed. If he's going to rebuke all the brothers, okay, he's rebuking all the brothers. If he's going to bless all the brothers, great. But some he's going to bless, some he's going to rebuke, some he's going to... It seems strange. It seems that on his deathbed he could theoretically be creating strife. But you could argue on that, but I was learning this, I was sort of in the recesses of my mind thinking of that point, but that's...
Also, I like to understand it. I mean, you know, the number 12 tribes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because he had 12 children? If he had 13, we would have had 13 tribes?
You're saying, is there any significance specifically to the number 12?
Yeah.
I'm sure. Is that
because he had 12 children, so he gave each one a chelik... You know, in Eretz Israel, and everybody had their own tafkid, you know, their own jobs.
Yeah, it seems like that.
And there were supposed to be 12 tribes. That's why he had 12 children, not that he had 12 children. That's why there's 12 tribes.
Wait a minute, what are you saying again?
I'm saying there were supposed to be 12 tribes. That's why he had 12 children.
The way in the Medrash...
So why the 12 then? Is that because he had 12 children, because he knew he was supposed to have 12 children for the 12 tribes?
I don't know
tribes?
If he... knew, but he was supposed to have 12 children.
The Medrash gives such an impression. The Medrash gives such an impression, the fact that there was this competition between Rachel and Leah, that they knew that there were going to be these Shvatim, and they were basically in competition trying to have as many children and have as many children be represented in these Shvatim.
Yeah, that's why Leah prays to God that Dina should turn from a Zachar to
an Akeva. Exactly.
Right. Isn't that Rashi?
Right.
So that's the impression you get from the Medrash, that the Avos and the Imos, for that matter, in their Nevuah, knew that there was going to be the Yud Beis Shvatim.
Yaakov didn't have any girls.
One.
Well, there is a Medrash
that they all had twins.
They all had twins,
at
right.
At least one.
One girl? What's her name?
One is recorded.
Dina. At least.
Dina. The one that has the whole incident, which time she's...
Right.
And according to the Medrash, her daughter is the wife of Yosef. Batipara, right.
Well, that's like...
His niece. His niece.
That?
It's Yosef's niece.
Yeah, but how can she be the wife if Yosef was her brother?
Maybe stepbrother.
Dina's...
Right, Dina's daughter.
Dina's daughter.
Ah, okay.
Dina was raped by Shechem. So they had a child. That child, Osnas, according to the Medrash, married... Osnas did marry Yosef, that's clear. The question is who she was. So the Medrash says, connects the dots and says that Osnas was the illegitimate daughter.
The child was Mamzer?
No.
No. Didn't have
Arias. Even if Dina lived in Williamsburg and had four shaitels on before she was married, and the same episode happened to her, the child still wouldn't be a mamzer, because the mamzer, at least lehalacha, before you get to the final halacha, it's a dispute. Right. At least lehalacha, moms are specifically the product of a relationship which is liable to the punishment of kares, except for nida. Other than that, but for example, a man who has a child with a married woman, the punishment for adultery is the level of kares is misa, it's death. It's severe, and therefore a product of that union is called a mamzer in halacha.
Because the woman was married to someone else.
Exactly. Or, for example, a brother and a sister would be another example. A brother and a sister that have a child. That would be another example of a mamzer. However, a single woman who is raped in this instance, so the product of that act will not be a mamzer.
That would I see.
Be.
That's interesting.
Okay. So let's take a look at the Archaim. So the Archaim. There you go. It's great. That's what life's all about.
You never stop absorbing, education and knowledge.
Right.
Because there's so many things, and a lot of people specialize with only that.
Right.
I try to specialize with everything, and that's very hard.
Right. So the Or Chaim, there's an excellent commentary in Rashi. There's a Chumash that has, it's called the Yud Aleph Pirushim on Rashi. It has 11 commentaries in Rashi. There are many different super commentaries on Rashi. For example, the Maharal has his commentary to Gur Aryeh. You have Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi. You have Be'er Heitiv. So the Or Chaim HaKadosh actually is a commentary to some extent on Rashi. So let's take a look at the Or Chaim. So he fleshes out this Rashi, which we saw. It doesn't say it explicitly, but the idea seems to be from Rashi. Hagam Sheri'inu, the very beginning of that, of source 5. Hagam Sheri'inu, Shelo Barech Ruvi, Lo Shimon, Velo Levi, Yagad HaKosov, Ki Dibur HaKosh Shelahem, Hi Birchasan. Hua. So the Or Chaim says, even though we don't see that God, that Yaakov, rather, blessed Ruvain and Shimon and Levi, however, Yagid HaKosu, the Pasuk tells us, Ki Dibur HaKosh Lehem, Hi Bir Chasam. The very fact that he talked to them harshly, that was their bracha. V'hu Omer Asher Diber, Vayivarech. V'masha Omer L'Ruvain Divri Kintor, Sham Tziva Es HaBracha Al Derech Omram, Asida Avodah Shetachsur L'Bchoros. Basically, even within his tochacha, that he is saying to Ruvain, is really a bracha. In other words, what it appears to be is that even though Ruvain, you may have lost the bechor now, meaning Ruvain originally was, again, theoretically, his descendants would have been the Kohanim. Just like the Kohanim are the sons of Aaron, HaKohen, so too the Kohanim would have been the sons of Ruvain, who was the Bechor. So he's saying that eventually the Bechor will come back to you, even though now you've lost it because of that whole episode with your mother. Ukfiza kevin shekavalo shem ha-Bechora asidu lamod l'shoris l'asid lavo b'tim sashad tzadikim sofim l'bitim al-asid. Let's just continue, because I think his point becomes even more clearer with Shimon Alevi. If you skip the last second to last line in this paragraph, the middle of the line, it's like 7 words in, Vigam Shimon Velevi Bircham Bimasha Amar Arur Apam Zohi Birchasam. When he cursed their anger, in essence, that really was their bracha. Shekila Litkvuras Hamakalel Umeiria, because he's really cursing that Yitzer Hara of Shimon and Levi. Right, and how does he do that? Umeiria gam masha chilkam vehefitzam hu lasagas tachlas haosher gam came. And the purpose why he dispersed Shimon and Levi was in essence to go against their grain. So just to step back for a moment, this is not like Rashi. This is his own explanation. But the way the Or Chaim explains it, and it's very novel. He says that what appeared to us at first as a klala, or really as a rebuke for Ruvain, Shimon, and Levi, in essence was a bracha. because Yaakov Avinu was highlighting their faults and blessing them in a way in which they are able to manage, to deal with, and to eliminate those faults. So, for example, Shimon and Levi have a temper. What was the bracha that was bestowed upon Shimon and Levi to deal with their temper? They were scattered. The Kohanim. The Kohanim don't have their own nachala. The Kohanim, the Levim, they have to rely on others. They have to make sure that they court favor with other Yisraelim in order for them to receive their truma and to receive their meiser. That bracha was for them to have a way in which to manage and to deal with their issues. That's the way he explains it.
You said the Kohanim, the Levim, they didn't have any their own nechala.
Right. They have different cities within other
people. But they spread all over, right?
Yes.
So actually they were holding like the religion part of Israel.
For sure, the Levim, that was one of their major roles. Their major role was as mechanchen.
So they were like the representative for the Am, for the people.
Yes, yes, for sure.
Makes sense.
But how does he explain that for Reuven?
So for Reuven, I was unfamiliar with this chazal which he's referencing, but apparently Reuven is going to eventually have some role in Klal Yisrael.
I
hear what you said, but I think with Shimon and Levi, what he's saying is
Shimon and Levi is more apparent.
Sarum is your combination of anger, you know, geometrically, you know, multiplies. So therefore, it's a bracha. My bracha to you is that you will not be together, and that way, when you're separate, you'll be able to accomplish. But what's he taking away from? What's he controlling for Reuven so that he will ultimately get back his bechora? If in fact that's
it's a good point. I don't think that the brachos for the brothers need to be exactly the same type. I mean, you're right. The Shimon and Levi, the bracha is for anger management. So for Reuven, the bracha is that just because you may have lost your bechor rights, you're still the bechor. In other words, you will eventually reclaim your title. So it is a bracha, but again, the kunz of the Or Chaim is that what may appear at first glance or what may seem as a curse, in other words, really is a bracha.
No, I think that you can even see it in put it into the shot. In other words,
yeah.
Reuven b'chori atah kolchiv reshit oni yeter that's the
even now.
Yeah, notwithstanding pachas kamayim.
Right.
Yes, I think that's what Yor HaChaim is saying. That
yeah.
Notwithstanding that you acted this way, you're still going to be the Bechor.
You're still going to be the Bechor.
Yeah, but Reuven being the Bechor from one mother, and we had here two women, right?
We have four women.
Oh, there were four women? Yaakov had four women?
Four wives.
He had four wives
and two concubines. I mean.
Right. Okay. He had Rachel, he had Leah, and he had Bilhah, and he had Zilpah.
Now, isn't each mother had, when she had the first child, then they're called Bechorim? Or go by who was born first?
I think with respect to inheritance, it's based on the father. In other words, the father's first child is the one who has the Bechor rights.
Right, but he had a Bechor from this woman.
He only had one Bechor. The women may have had a Bechor. He had one Bechor.
Meaning,
which is the first one that came out.
The first one that came out if he was also Bechor to the mother. He has to be Bechor to both.
Right.
Only Bechor to one of them doesn't count. As long as you're Bechor to both.
So all the other three wives, they had obviously the first child.
Yeah.
So it's Bechor toward the mother, but not the father, because he had a Bechor already with Reuben.
Right, so they get the privilege of fasting on their Pesach, but they don't get the dough.
Gee.
So, but yeah, that's a very good point. The fact that he seems to stress, and that's the Or Chaim's point.
I think it's very nice, Daniel.
I'm not familiar with this chazal that he's referencing. The fact that he's
No, I'm not either, but I'm saying you could learn shot that way.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And I was going to go more into an explanation which was going to more align with Rashi. look at the second paragraph from the Yerachayim. Pirush haroilo, kfi b'chinas nishmaso, ukfi maisav. The bracha that he gives to each son is based on their own inclination, their tendencies, their neshama. Ki yesh lecha ledas, ki hanafashas kol echad yesh lehem b'china hamala, yesh shemalasa kahuna v'yesh shemalchus. Each one is more, attuned to priesthood. One is attuned to the monarchy. V'yesh keser Torah, v'yesh gvura, v'yesh osher, v'yesh hatzlacha. There's different things. There's the crown of Torah, the crown of might, the crown of wealth, and of success. V'nes kav yakub b'nevu, levarech kol echad kfi berchasu haroyla, Hamelech b'malchus, ha'koin b'kahuna, v'kolze al derech lo hafa chamasidus. Okay. So let's, this last part, really this is the Rashi part. Amro osam loshen rabim, he said to them, Baruch osam in loshen rabim, ki birchos kol echad b'echad toa la'atzmo. Ulechol och echad. The reason why he says Baruch osam is because each bracha is for each individual, but also it helps the rest of the brothers. Like when it says that the king's hand is on the the neck of his enemies. Therefore, the bracha is going to impact all the brothers. And so too when one brother is successful, that impacts all the other brothers. And the Rabbi Hirsch, in his over here in his commentary on the Pentateuch, explains this even more and even more rationally. And this is actually excellent. Where does he start?
Well, then each bracha was given to each son based on his personality in
right.
a way.
Right. So what the Orchaim,
which is, makes sense.
Right. What the Orchaim is doing is he's explaining the Pasuk Chav Ches towards the end of the Parsha. The Pasuk says, that Ish Kibirchaso Beirach O Sub. So it's a very strange language because it sounds like at the beginning of the Pasuk, the Pasuk is focusing on each individual bracha that each one of the brothers is getting. In other words, if you just read the Pasuk, it says that in Chaches, Kol Eilu Shifti Yisrael Shnei Masar, V'zos Asher Diber Lehem Avim, Vayivarech Osam, and he blessed them, Ish Asher, each one, Kibirchaso, based on his bracha, Beirach Oso, it should have said. Each one according to his bracha, he blessed them, each as an individual.
Right.
But it says, Ish Asher Kibirchaso Barech Osam. Each one according to their individual blessings, he blessed all of them. He blessed all of them, he blessed each one individually for their own particular bracha. So what the Orchaim is doing is he's creating more of a unified benefit by each individual bracha. So when we saw Rashi, when we read Rashi, Rashi sort of gave us the impression of, and a lot of the super commentaries say this, but he gave us the impression that just because he may have been speaking to Yehuda and blessing Yehuda with might, did not mean it was solely Yehuda. Really, all the other brothers got some aspect of his gevura as well.
Which is, or is little, it, can't you it also say that Yehuda gets might, right. but that might
will help
something
everybody.
That protects
exactly, and that's what,
yes,
right.
What
that's the Orchaim is specifically getting.
Let me understand. Why couldn't Yaakov gather all of them and make one bracha even to all of them?
He could. He could have.
But he didn't.
He could have.
That was his choice then.
I'll tell you what.
Maybe
it was. But,
maybe he did. Maybe
right.
That's what they're saying. In other words, Yaakov says, okay, you have this special aspect, you have this special aspect, you have
right.
this special aspect. Okay, here's my bracha to the 12 of you. You should do something with all of these aspects. Okay? But how can I bless you with being speedy if there's no speed in your family?
I see, okay.
So, but since there's speed in the family, I'm blessing everybody with speed, even though really, he's the one that's the speediest.
Right. And it also
he knew each one personality.
Right.
And he had to take it. First, he blessed all of them,
right.
but he knew that each one has a certain thing that the other doesn't have.
And that's a very powerful message.
Well, that makes sense.
That makes sense, but that's also a very powerful message. the idea of shiftiyut, the idea of different tribes, the fact that we find that the tribes, obviously just from the brachos, that they had different personalities and they had different inclinations, but they had different cultures. Like we find in Shoftim, they had different dialects. Shibboleth, right? Shibboleth and Siboleth.
One's a Litvak,
you had a Sapastika Lawson, right? I heard a Litvak once. I couldn't believe it was true.
I had a Litvak Rebbe in the academy for my sex.
A good Sabbath. Right. They say Rav Herschel Schechter likes to comment, you find in the Gemara a lot of inconsistencies between Rav Ashi and Rav Asi. Because of that point. But it's a very profound idea. Excuse me, the concept of shiftius, the concept of we're all different, and to such an extent, but those are all acceptable forms of Avodas Hashem. It's very deliberate. Running short of time. So Rabbi Hirsch does also get flesh out that same point, the fact that the bracha for the brothers really was the success of each individual brother. This point that Or Chaim is making, exactly like you said, the fact that when Yehuda is a successful king, when Yehuda is a successful leader, that sheds positively on the rest of the Klal Yisrael, that helps the rest of the Klal Yisrael.
So you see that the other Avos, when they gave brachas, there was no unification. In other words, one brother was something, the other brother was something. It wasn't really a unification of those two brothers.
There was always one root.
Like Yishmael would be his own nation, and
Esav.
Well, yeah, okay. So
Yishmael and Yitzchak.
And Yitzchak, so Yitzchak would be something. So, you know, each of those brothers got a bracha according to their nature, but they weren't like a combined...
They weren't a combined unit.
This is the first time you see that all the brothers get a bracha, but those brachas are supposed to be intertwined. Like, it's to keep you all together.
Very good,
it's not
right.
Like, you're strong, and if the rest of you don't behave, watch out, he'll pounce on you. No, he's strong because it's to benefit all of you, or he's this way because it's to benefit all of you.
Right. And this is the true expression. They say, Yaakov Avinu, Chazal say, that mitasa shalema, he had a complete bed. In other words, none of his sons went off the derech. All of them were on one unified path, as opposed to his predecessors, Avraham and Yitzchak. The last source. This is Abarbanel. This is a more of a novel approach.
What century of Abarbanel did
The Rabbanel lived in the time of the Inquisition.
1492. Right before the Gerush Tzvarat.
Right. So I'm saying
he experienced the Gerush Tzvarat.
After then, Rambam.
After sure.
And where did he live? What area?
Spain.
He was an officer in the kingdom
of Rabbanel. But wait a minute, how did he live in Spain
he was one of the Grushim. I think by choice, right? I think
he was given the choice to stay.
He had an option to stay, but he chose to.
It's funny that a lot of rabbis and philosophers came out of Spain in those era.
I think it was a remnant, meaning Spain, you don't have the same persecution like you had in Ashkenaz. Spain.
When Spain was Muslim, it was more favorable.
Christian. Right.
Right. So that's why there were a lot of Spamish going Dora because they were able to flourish.
Well, they did the Higur from North Africa in essence west, and then they jumped to Spain, and because they lived a comfortable life with Islam
all
the Jews in even Babylonia and Iraq and Iran.
It was very open-minded, and that's why you had so many...
I think Islam was also based a lot more than Christianity to Judaism, Islam. You know, Islam doesn't eat pork either.
Right.
If you look at every Pakistani on TV with their kippot.
Right.
As a matter of fact, they found some Bet Kvarot in Afghanistan. Old with Magen David on it. Yeah.
Okay, so the Bar Barnel says, we'll read that first paragraph, and I'll say it outside. Bekavanas ele hamamorim, the idea, the purpose behind these paragraphs, these brachos, v'habrachos, da'ati note, my opinion is, sheyakov be'ez moso, when Yaakov was dying, ratza levar, he wanted to clarify, me'eze me'ibonov yetze shebet hamalchus v'hamem shala bizarro. Because he wanted to figure out from which one of his sons is going to be the melucha, is going to be the kingship. Ki ra v'yada b'koach nivuosav. He knew through nivua, she yisra b'zaro me'ot, he's going to have many children. V'haya roi sheyimne aleim manhig o melech shoter u'moshel. And therefore, it was fitting and necessary to appoint a king. U'lofi shelo yipol b'neim k'tata al minui ha'melech. And because he wanted to make sure that there wasn't a dispute in terms of who the king is going to be, and even with his precaution, there was many disputes still. So obviously, this was necessary. And therefore, at his death, he needed to clarify this to make sure that there was shalom beinehem. Ubo melachim yimlochu, and from that shevet, the king shall reign. And because of this reason, he did a search, an investigation, through each one of his sons, kvitivo vitchunaso, based on their nature and on their characteristics. Mihu haroi lemalchus, who exactly is the one who's fitting for kingship. Ki teva habonim asher yuladu lahem ra sheyet note leteva avos. V'tamid hamoram mihem kuyotzi behem. Because he knows there's this idea of a biological factor that the forefathers, the avos, the shvatim rather, are going to be, the descendants are going to have the characteristics like their forefathers. The bnei Naftali are going to be like Naftali himself. Bnei Levi are going to be like Levi himself. Therefore, because of this test to figure out who shall be the king. Therefore, he mentioned some of them, their characteristics, some of them, their futures. But that was not the purpose of Nabrach or Tochacha. And not to tell them Malosim Baretz, the Nachba they'll have in Eretz Israel. Very novel approach by the Barmanel. The purpose was not Bracha. The purpose of all these psukim were not to praise one brother over another. It was not to rebuke one brother or another, or not to prophesy about one brother or another. It was to get to one singular goal, and that was to figure out who was going to be the future king of Bnei Israel. Reuven, you had potential, but Reuven, you shouldn't be king. You're too unpredictable. Shimon Levi could have been king, but I don't think it's
was
a good idea.
Was it the Shevet Yehuda?
What's the Shevet Yehuda?
Because where Jerusalem is and everything else.
Well, according to the Bible, now the Pesukim tell us the reason why. Why Yehuda? Yehuda, ata yuducha achecha. Your brothers admit to you. Your brothers respect you. You're not like Yosef, where the brothers did not necessarily respect you. They respected you. That's a big qualification for a king. Your hand is on the neck of your enemies. You're strong. You're good in battle. That's very important for a qualification for a king. Again, also successful in battle. Therefore, lo yasur shevet Yehuda. The malchus should not leave Yehuda. That's what he says. And it makes sense also. He says, in the prophecy, you're going to be in a good land, a good shevet. But others, Don was inappropriate. Don was more into din. He was one to judge people. God was only ran the army. So therefore, that's the entire purpose. That's what he says. It's very interesting.
I got a question with Abraham. Before Abraham came from Babylonia to Eretz Canaan in those days, did Jerusalem existed already? Anybody know?
According to the Midrash, yeah. In Malki Tzedek, the Shem, the son of Noach, was the king of an area called Shalem, which we understand to be Yerushalayim.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I'm saying they didn't have bankers, but they still were there.
Right.